Breathe. Just breathe. Reach out. Let us address the dead elephant in the room. Let us address it directly. You, my dreadful things, are where you need to be. It's your turn, listeners. Tell me, what do you see? Do you see it again? For the first time, again. I do sometimes wander the never not there, the place where our stories lie, the dancing memories that fade into the gray sand of the Badlands. We all wander together, clutching our memories tight, intertwining and defining millions more, and none at all. How big is your head? Do you know? Can you grasp the very metrics of imagination? A few inches across your skull, beyond which lies another universe. Our universe. Will you come fly with me? Or will you walk alone? Does it matter to you? Shall we gallop through the fields where demons lie, or onto the room of truths to eat humble pie? Nothing to see! Nothing to see here! Oh, now... Now it just sounds like I'm having fun. I hold your time in my hands.
What am I doing back here, Redgrin?
Oh, my dear Sharpie. Nice of you to drop in. You just can't catch a break, can you? Here you are again. And never before.
My last visit was enough to last me a lifetime. What am I doing back here?
I need a chaperone. Someone to ferry through the oceans of the subconscious. Walk with me through the murky forests of the Never Not There. Anyway, Sharpie, how's the wife? She's doing fine. Still fighting the good fight, the best way she can. Slowly and with poison.
She left the kids at her sister's house 3 weeks ago. I haven't heard from her.
Oh, it must be serious.
You know, don't you? You always know.
You always know. Well, everyone needs a hobby.
So, my life is your hobby?
Oh dear, no, no, of course not. You mustn't be so narrow-minded. It's not just your life. It's everyone's life. Now listen, and don't fidget. And whatever you do, don't squeeze. This house thinks, Sharpie. It is alive. Its heart beats, a rhythm of three. It can hear you. It can see you, so don't offend it. Let the house sink in. Let it breathe. Reach out and commune with another of its kind. Another house that breathes. Or perhaps one that now sleeps. And how am I supposed to do that? Can't you just play along? You're cramping my speeches.
Sorry.
Just concentrate. Everyone in their lives comes into contact with a sentient house. A sentient home, a place that acts as refuge from the sun that lies. And I happen to know that you've spent a great deal of your life in one of them, Sharpie. You've lingered in the Never Not There. So show me. Show me your past. Love what you've done with the place.
I know this place. I've been here before.
Of course you have.
This is where I grew up. My father's homestead.
A very special homestead. Endless acres of land, a fine, expansive structure fit for kings and certainly queens. A house full of souls, stories, monsters.
I don't want to be back in this place. This part of my life is over.
Then we will just stand here and admire its grandeur for a while, but it's never over, Sharpie. Never.
You think I didn't know about this part of your life, this first part of your life?
You think I just invited you into my establishment and dropped all of your wife's super secret agent secrets out to you all at once? If I didn't already have a special interest in you. A special interest in all of you.
You've been watching me since the manor.
Is that what you call this place? The manor? Your childhood home. The place where you sealed your fate.
Can we leave, please?
No. You have to face this. But this time, Sharpie, you might not have to do it alone. Shall we walk?
Fine.
The manor is ancestral, is it not? It goes back generations.
So the history books say.
A mad prophet once accused the house of luring families to the inside, only to feast on their souls. It would create conflict, brew it to the boiling point.
It always felt so cold in there. The only fire, the only heat came from the words and actions of my family. But I knew it wasn't them.
You knew there was something else there. In the corner of your eye. Something talking to you.
It was the only thing that would listen.
The manor doesn't just listen. It replies. Sometimes with simple words, other times with actions. What are you talking about? Hush now. Listen. Can you hear it? Oh, this house is old. Very old. The outer landscape of this establishment has grown around this structure. We've had some cowboys in here.
I don't understand.
It is chaos magic, Sharpie. Still not getting it. Soup. Really not helping. Have you ever tried to summon a demon? A god? A small night imp, perhaps? What kind of question is that? The kind that needs an answer, you dingbat. Not that I can remember. Well, summoning a demon or a god is easy if you apply chaos magic theory. Explain. Energy, Sharpie. Soup. Energy is everything. You do things, you produce energy, but it doesn't just stop at the physical. You do certain things, certain changes occur in your consciousness. It doesn't have to be a god or a devil. Not directly, anyway. Actions have representation. Words are timeless. The house is not only feeding on the conflict of its inhabitants, it's recycling past conflict to fuel the new conflict. Everything that has ever happened in this house, this old house, the house feels it, like it is addicted to the very idea of conflict. That is all it knows. Chaos magic has been practiced here. There is no question. Okay, but what did you mean by soup? That's what chaos magic is. Never not there, soup. But this soup has been poisoned. It shouldn't be like this. There should be memories of joy as well as pain. It's a living thing. It needs both. Why would it feed on conflict? No, that is not the right question. It's feeding on conflict because it's a living gateway. The Never Not There is the space between dimensions. This house is what you might call a representation. A manifestation of that space. You ever had a noisy neighbor? Don't answer that. I know you do, in the block of flats you live in on Maddox Street. He's always playing music until the early hours. It drives me insane. Exactly. Exactly what? Well, think about it. There is a wall that separates you from your noisy neighbor. Paper thin and poorly constructed. The situation with the manor is not dissimilar. For example, there is a wall you can't process in its true form, that separates the dimensions. As I said, the house is a living manifestation of that wall. And so it somewhat projects muffled whispers of what is beyond the transparent dimensional veil. So whoever lives in this house hears echoes, sees footprints of the souls in the next world? Poetically put, my dear friend. But if the house caused everyone who lived in it to go insane, and do things completely out of character. Things that you will be witnessing when we go in there. Then what the hell is happening in the next dimension? That, Sharpie, is the right question. Are you ready? No? Good. There will be something very wrong if you were. When we get in there, do you mind if I narrate? Narrate? What the hell are you on about? Well, the house isn't the only one who's listening. I don't want to leave my dreadful things hanging.
That sounds disgusting.
Will you get your mind out of the gutter? We are going in there, so suck it up. Redgrin's log, stardate 349707.295.
What the hell are you doing?
Stardate. Seriously? Never you mind the format in which I present the date and time to my listeners. Some people like stardates. They're accurate. And you should be paying more attention. In case you haven't noticed, we seem to have wandered directly into 1973. The 17th of April, if I'm feeling it right. That's my birthday. My actual birthday. Oh, the night you were born. What was going on here?
I was being born upstairs.
No, there was something more. There is a giant entrance hall beyond the double doors. White marble floors stretching ahead, turning into stairs to the upper decks of the household. The only light, the moon above. The moon that laughs. Its cold smile illuminates our breath, stretching it across the space and staining one of the mirrored walls that increase the hall size in perception only. Who was it that said, humans are nothing but deaths that haven't happened yet?
I don't know, but I bet he was a miserable bastard.
Indeed, Sharpie. A wiser man would reply with something like, births that already happened?
And are you that wiser man?
No, of course not. I'm what you might call a downward Debbie. I assume at this point that the staff would be tending to your mother's every need.
I assume so. Well, they did everything else for her. They practically raised her children. Why not help deliver them into this world?
It's not that you're bitter at all, of course.
No, of course not. It wasn't all bad. We had a live-in doctor. But are we just going to stand here? It's freezing.
I'm thinking.
Well, that's a relief, because you're usually talking.
Hush now! If a child is being born in your household, it's a big event, especially if it's your child, so I imagine that all eyes would be on the mother. But what else was going on? This house is vast. Are you telling me that every single person was present to assist with the birth? It seems kind of intrusive.
I'm not telling you anything. I don't know. I'm not the best person to ask, as I was busy being born at the time.
You're the perfect person to ask. You've lived here for years amongst a disturbingly large group of people for a blood family of four. There must have been all kinds of people here from all walks of life. Dangerous people. Dangerous things you could have learned from.
I don't know.
Think, Sharpie. Dangerous people don't break into your home, they live in it. So go look. Start with the night of your birth and work your way up. The house will take you where you need to go.
Go look.
Yes. Go look. It's your house. I'll stay here and follow your brain. I need some time to contemplate, and someone needs to keep an eye on the exit. Otherwise, we'll both be stuck in here.
Follow my... I don't even want to know.
Don't get lost now, and don't lose yourself either. That's much easier.
It'll take me hours to check every room.
Sharpie, I hold your time in my hands.
Is that your way of saying time works differently here?
It might be. You have to remember this is all mostly a projection. Now move it. I'm meditating. Go enjoy your life all over again. For the first time. Again. So, listeners, here we are, alone at last, slap bang in the middle of the never not there. I do sometimes wonder the seemingly endless grounds of the never not there, the place where we feel courage, the place where we feel fear. There is not a place else where we can wander with such freedom. In this place, our feet have springs and we step in time with the rhythm we were born to dance to. We were all born here. All of us. Or maybe none of us. I feel in debt to those who have not had the privilege of walking a road of their own creation. These are roads that talk as well as walk. Roads with tongues that speak on the inside. The tongues of silence no more. I dread to think my dreadfully dreadful things of what Sharpie may see, what he may relive, and what he may never remember again. Will he relive every argument, every moment of physical abuse? Every attempt on his life, every nightmare he ever dreamed in his bedroom of lies, the night his father shot his sister. Oh, well, that's one down. But what about you, listeners? What does your life look like? Look at it. Closer. I see a gigantic vaulted space. Distant stars. Four suns. Silver trace lines that chase Mother Time's ivy around your lifespan. Be careful not to burn yourself on this lethal soul. This sentient universe. We grow our children here. Says the universe. Where we reside is timeless. Nothing ever changes. And it is so boring. But we do have time. Timeless access to time. And through time must come change. Right. It must. It must. The universe speaks through the never not there, and I hear the whispers, and they send me to sleep. Whispers. 3.5 billion years ago, a single cell divided. The same cell still resides within all of us. Every single one of our bodies. We add the time dimension to your experience, your human experience, and you shall see it all as one. Reverse your lifespans. Turn back to see the birth of yourself and your mother before, and her mother before. It all runs back into this singular organism, this one life form. And it lives in your universe. It is one of our children, and it feeds on everything around it. You are all connected by this child of the universe, our child, and it feeds on your joy, feeds on your pain, and most of all, your beautiful indifference. Believe me, listeners, that's one hell of a thing to wake up to. It gave me nightmares of the sanity clause and the feeding of the grey rabbit. But it opened my eyes. So now, open yours and tell me what you see. Or tell me later. It looks like someone is back from their search. But by the looks of him, it's been a fair while since he left. I would say he's aged almost all the years he'd lived since we last spoke. That would make him mid-90s? His hair and skin are sickly and grey, and he is a shivering shadow of the man he once was. He must have come across the source of the soup, the secret ingredient. It has messed with his life, messed with his blood. He is a coffin made of his own deception.
Why did you bring me here? Why did you bring me here, you monster?
Did I not mention that if someone is to have the cursed privilege of witnessing his or herself being born by way of the house's magic, the house's rules, if you will, the witness doubles in age and is free to share in the ever-decaying wisdom that is the world of the elders?
You brought me here just to turn me into an old man? You're sick.
There are worse reasons. I did warn you away from witnessing the birth. I told you to search for the very evil that causes the house's heart to beat. But you just couldn't resist it, could you? That is how self-obsessed you are.
But why? I feel like my body is dying. You've killed me.
If you're asking why you're self-obsessed, that's a story for another time. Or maybe never. But if you're asking why I killed you, in a bizarre way, no less, I'll tell you. Because you killed your wife.
You're lying. I didn't kill anyone.
Still denying it, even now? At your age? On the brink of death and still in denial? Who was it that said, in their last moments, people show you who they really are? I can't remember, but I'm sure he was a better man than me. You killed her, Sharpie. That's where she really is, in the ground. And you thought I wouldn't find out.
She was putting the children in danger.
No. She was keeping them safe. Keeping them right by her side, away from you. Oh, don't pass out just yet. Come on, show a little spine. Look at me. Look at me. Your moment came in the form of a mission too dangerous for your children to accompany. The night before, she was due to leave. Leave possibly to save the world. Again. Maybe for the first time. Again, you sprang into action. Gutting her with a knife in your own family home. You stabbed her multiple times in the chest. The demons of envy surrounded you that night. The same demons that reside in this house, in this manor, if you will. When you ran away from this place, those demons followed you, whispered to you, commanded you. It's not about blame, Sharpie. It is about justice. And you have been served with a special kind. You will lie here in the entrance hall to your very own life, forever on the brink of death, doomed to live these last moments eternally. You do not get to die. Dying is easy. Living is hard. It is in dying that we are born to eternal life. And yes, that was as poignant as it sounded. Sharpie, I will leave you with these words. Words uttered by a greater man than me. Maybe they will bring you some peace. Although, I sincerely hope that they don't. That is not dead which can eternal lie, and with strange eons, even death may die.